Yeah, for a little opening or a devotional, I was inspired, I guess you would say, to write up a little song. It'll be a children's kind of a children's song, a children's devotion. And what I like about that is that it really does cover all of us, you know, anything, just about anything that we think of that is for children is on such a level that all of us can understand it and take something from it. It's called Five Little Pebbles. It was just in one of our children's probably Christian Light Ministry, which CLE, one of the curriculums that we have for our children has a nice little poem in there. And I made a song out of it. It has to do with King David. We think of King David, we think of his mighty army, we think of the throne that was given to him, and we think of Luke chapter 1 where when it was talked about Jesus, it was said that the Most High would come and the Lord God himself would give him the throne of David. But you know, before David had this throne, he was a faithful young child. He really was a young lad that had a heart already to do what his dad, you know, asked of him in a very simple way, just a very practical, very obedient way. He just faithfully kept care of his dad's sheep. It wasn't just his own personal little hobby sheep. He was taking care of his dad's sheep. He was a shepherd boy. He was out there, and he gave it all he had. The day that lion showed up to rip up one of the lambs and carry them off, he, in a mighty, even like a miraculous way, he was able to come against it says the paw of the lion could not overcome him. And the same way with the bear. And that's something he did. He didn't just, I don't think he just did it and then he forgot about it. When the moment came for him to fight the Philistine giant, Goliath, he brought that up as his testimony of God being with him. And just some neat connection there. He was very faithful to also be willing to move away from being a shepherd and taking food and I'm not sure, I think food, just food out to the mainly his brothers, his three older brothers. And he showed up there by the battle, and I think the battle was already I mean the ranks were being called into order. The Philistines were in their ranks, and the giant had already defied the God of Israel and said, "Who's going to fight me? Whoever fights me and kills me, we're going to become their servants. But if I kill you, you're going to become our servants." And I think David heard that. This little young lad heard that. And as his older brothers and as his own camp feared and quaked and trembled, he said these words. He said, "You mean this uncircumcised Philistine is going to defy the God of Israel?" A very different heart, a very different, you know, approach to it than just like, "Oh, this man is 9 feet, 9 inches tall, perhaps, or maybe he was bigger even. Oh, this man carries a 150-pound armor coat. This man has a 15-pound spearhead. He has a beam on his spear as thick as a weaver's beam." It didn't really affect him. He had an idea and a belief and a faith in God at a very young age that brought him to a place where he, I think one thing was just that he would have been willing to die for his people. You know, he would have been willing to just die, and I don't really just necessarily pick that up in the text that it says he would be willing to die, but he had confidence that he could be in the Lord's will and that the battle is the Lord's. I don't know that I'm just going to read the whole thing. I have a few. I wanted to touch on how his brothers responded when he came out and he made his request about going to battle. That would be 1 Samuel 17. And Eliab, his oldest brother, hurt when he spoke unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why come you down here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? You are proud, and I know the naughtiness of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" And he goes on. And he turns from them to another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them to Saul. Saul was the king. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go up and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." David said to Saul, "Thy servant has kept his father's sheep." And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant. This is the way David learned to present himself, is to say thy servant when he was talking about himself. Like he was the king's servant. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Saul armed him with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he went as he would go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, "I can't go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off of him. And he took his staff, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of a brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, and even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came out and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest with me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. There was many gods in Philistine that I think these cruel men would in the name of those gods, like maybe it was Ekron or Rephaim or just some other gods, they would like curse other people. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field." So the image of the giant didn't intimidate David, and neither did the giant's words intimidate David. In a fleshly sense, it was very obvious that the giant could have done that, but not for David. David said to the Philistine, this was Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And then this is what David told Goliath. This day, and I believe it was like Goliath and the rest of the army. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That was the end of communication. The giant, just from there, he didn't think he has anything more to say. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, that David hasted, and he ran to the army to meet the Philistine. If I understand those tactics right, like in this case Goliath was the giant, if he rose to move forward, then the ranks behind him would rise too. So this was, even in my understanding, even more than just one 10-foot tall guy. He moved, and then the ranks moved with him against who? One little boy, one little lad. David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell to the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in his hand for David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of his sheath, and slew him, cut off his head thereof. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until came to the valley and to the gate of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sheeran, even into Gath and into Ekron. And so the story goes, and David took the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And it seemed like the king inquired of who this was. He was very interested. Saul was very interested in David, and inquiring on how he did this. I think there was a good reason why David had the attention of the king, and because he had walked out in faith and done this. Anyhow, so that's just a very well-known story. I think it's a popular Old Testament story. I think there's a lot in there to learn, a lot to take away here in our New Testament time that we're in. I want to kind of switch. I want to read yet the Psalms 151 that's in the Septuagint. I like that one. And then I want to just point out a few things in the New Testament. I already mentioned that the throne of David would be given to Jesus. And this was the beginning of David's walk with the Lord. This was the beginning of a mighty way that he would be like the father of this ancestor that would lead up to Jesus. Psalms 151 in the Septuagint says, I was small among my brothers, and the youngest of my father's house. I tended my father's sheep. My hands made a harp. My fingers fashioned a lyre. And who will tell my Lord? The Lord himself, it is he who hears. It was he who sent his messenger, and he took me from my father's sheep and anointed me to be his anointed one. My brothers were handsome and tall, but the Lord was not pleased with them. I went out to meet the Philistine, and he cursed me by his idols. But I drew out my sword. I beheaded him, and took him away, took away disgrace from the people of Israel. And there's other psalms. I'm not going to take up a lot of time. I want to get to the song. I think that's about all I had to share there. There is so much about faith that King David had as a young guy that I think is very important. He established a walk with the Lord, a trust and an understanding that if you walk by faith, God can do mighty things. I think that is still very, very similar today. You know, in the New Covenant, there are just so many things that we just have to apply our life to it by faith. And there's giants around, sure, but just know they're paper giants. By faith, we have the victory. Anyhow, I think that's enough on that. One more verse would be the Ephesians 6, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. This is the first promise, first commandment with promise. It will go well with you all the days of your life." That kind of, you know, that is specifically for children. The following one is an address for the fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But for children, I think that's a very good starting point. That was a starting point for David. And it went well with him. We can be sure if we follow those footsteps here in the New Covenant that it will go well with us. And that's my encouragement to you. So, now, the song. Sasha, you got the papers. Why don't you go pass them out? I think I'll get off of this, and then we'll sing a song.
Five little pebbles near a sandy nook, hid in the hollow of a rippling brook. What are they good for? They lay on this clay. They lie there useless day after day. In his shepherd's bag he carefully thrust five little pebbles that in confidence trust. He marched to battle where soldiers with spears fled by the thousands, quaking with fears. A 9-foot giant with cruel eyes shouted to Israel, "Your God I defy." The brave young lad with no spear or sword cried, "I am coming in the name of the Lord." Slipping a stone in a handmade sling, skillfully aimed David's stone when zing. The smooth stone with to Goliath's forehead. In a moment the giant lay dead. The five little pebbles David chose from a brook are mentioned with honor in God's holy book. And the five in his bag teach his lesson true. God has a purpose for little pebbles too.
Yeah, I guess just one, it's almost like a question, but I have a little bit of a backdrop that goes with it. Like, I don't know if you all noticed it, but, and if you have the same question I do, but when we're reading the text, well, when Brother Atlee just read the text, in there it doesn't just say Israel, it says Israel and Judah, right? So, basically, why? What's the significance of that? Because if you fast forward, you know, in the time of Solomon's life, at the very end, here I'm just found this passage. Wasn't sure where it was, but I thought maybe 1 Kings. So 1 Kings, it talks about Solomon's heirs. And this is towards the end of his life, towards the end of his reign. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. Then the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel. This is after his 40-year reign, right? Who had appeared to him twice, and he commanded him concerning this matter, that he should not follow other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your mind, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of your father David, I will not do it in your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. And I will not, however, tear away the entire kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David, for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So I think we know that as you fast forward in the future, you end up where you have Judah, and then you have these other tribes, which is Israel. And that's the northern kingdom, and then you have the southern kingdom centered around Jerusalem, which is Judah. And when you get to the time when you're reading the prophets, whether it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, you know, all those, that's what we have. We have Israel versus Judah. But if we rewind back to this period where David is doing this with Goliath, we have a united kingdom. Why does the text distinguish between Israel and Judah? So it's just a thought. We could always talk about it later, but if somebody had already thought about this, I would love to hear it.